taking him on staff with us and helping us out here. So he's a pretty sharp young man. And so I'm going to be in Galatians chapter 6, and I hope you'll be here for the next 15 years if the Lord tarries. It's a, some of your older people are saying, I hope so too. And it's going to be a great trip serving the Lord. And it's all about Him and souls and reaching the people He loves. And we've had a lot of lives saved. People who are going to kill themselves, people who are going to jail for a long period of time, people who are making bad decisions, families who are falling apart. The Lord's really given us a lot of impact, and a lot of people who are just serving the Lord now. Their life wasn't falling apart, but they learned a new level of commitment and passion for the Lord and a purpose, and we want to do a lot more, though, of that, and it's a great place to be a part of. Galatians 6 is where I'm reading out of. You can listen along. I'm going to quote you one verse. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof." Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. It's more important that you'll find out that you'd rather end up right than start out right. It's more important how you end up. You can mess up your life. You can have a bad start and good finish in life. And just because the other team scores a touchdown first doesn't mean the game's over. And your life, it's how it finishes and how the end is. I'm always a person, I do everything in my life. It's just what I try to do. I do everything in my life to make the end good. Sometimes, and that usually costs a price at the start, and to have the end good. But you kind of either pay the price at the end or at the start. If you live foolishly, the end is miserable. Make bad decisions, the end is bad, and you enjoy the fun for a little bit. But if you make hard decisions at the start, you find out it's a shorter period of time that lends up with a long time of better. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. I was talking to men about this and illustrate it real simply. Let's take a high school dropout and a person who goes and becomes a doctor. The person who drops out of school when he's 17 is having more fun and having it easier, and 18 and 19 and 20. But check back at 40 and 50 and 60 and 70. And you'll find out you're better off with a better ending than a better beginning. And drugs are fun for a little while. It's just there's an end to it. That's that. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Then Galatians 6, and I want to start at verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. You rejoice in yourself because you've done the right things. But every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. Jess, can I have you run this? The Paula or somebody so they can show us the kids. Thanks.
It's not closed.
All right. Good. All right. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. We'll talk about what I've learned in 15 years and what I've learned that the Lord comes through in the end. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the chance to teach it. Thank you for your people who are here. Thank you. I can give you some glory today, and that would be great if that was all that we did. But also, Lord, I would like your word to be practical and us learn some good things for our lives and your spirit to speak to hearts. And anybody who doesn't know you as Savior should come to know you as Savior. We pray you'd work and speak and empower and bless this now in a powerful way. Lord, we just commit this to you and ask you to work and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage is pretty simple. Whatever you plant, you're going to get back. You plant a bean, you get a bean. Plant corn, you get corn. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And the principle behind it is God is not mocked. You don't do something and then say, "Ha, I got away with it. Nothing ever happened." It's going to happen. God is never mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And then it says, it works both ways. That's what's great. If a farmer decides, you know what, I just don't feel like planting much, I'm going to plant 2 rows of corn and just see what happens, and maybe a gigantic crop will grow. Well, he's pretty much not going to get that. And if a guy decides to be diligent, plant a lot of things, in most cases, he's going to get back that. And God is not mocked in either way. If you sow bad in your life, it says, he that sows the flesh, that's our fleshy desires and doing sinful things, of the flesh he will receive corruption, death, just bad things. He that soweth this to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting, the Bible says. It's really simple. You can choose the result. In the end, and you say, well, some people do right, and they bad things happen, and they end up with tragedy in their life, or they end up even being a martyr. I want to say this. That's just what you can see. But there's a long eternity. If you suffer for 5 or 10 years, even though you're doing right on this earth, but the Bible says, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. If you, listen, if God said, hey, 10 years suffering, 16 trillion years of eternal bliss for doing it, which one do you want? Bring it on. More suffering, the better. The more I'm going to get back. Life doesn't end at death. Life is eternal. And though some of our lots might be suffering, some of our lots might not reap, even on earth. And by the way, my experience in watching people and working very carefully with lives for 26 years and watching sowing and reaping and watching in my life and watching it in a lot of people's life, I'm involved in a lot of lives all the time. And I've been involved in very wealthy people's lives and very poor people's lives and everything in between. My experience is on earth, you sow and reap. Most of the time, it comes back on earth. Now, in heaven, I haven't seen that part yet. I already know because the Bible tells me what's going to happen. But I know on earth, you sow and you reap. And it happens. But the thing about it is, you don't know when. It says right there, verse 7, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But then it says, in due season, verse 9, we shall reap if we faint not. Notice it says in due season. We don't know when that is. As we talk about the church today, and the message is the Lord always comes through in the end. I want to say this. It says in due season. I read about a bamboo. And this bamboo, it's in the Orient somewhere. And this certain kind of bamboo is very, very valuable. And this bamboo, you plant it, and then you water it, and you got to take care of it when it's in the ground. And nothing happens for the first year. And you just keep on watering it and taking care of it. Second year, nothing happens. Third year, nothing happens, not even a sprout. And if I remember right, it's the sixth year, and on the sixth year, the thing grows 30 feet. Just, whoosh, and then it's very valuable. But it's due season. I mean, if you walk up and you go to a garden, you put your corn seed in the ground, cover it up, put your Miracle-Gro on it, and then put your water, and then you say, come on! Things don't happen that fast. In due season, you'll reap. And then it gives a qualification, if you faint not. Fainting in the Bible, when it's that context, is quitting. If you keep doing right, you will, in due season, get great blessings. But boy, we live in a in an attention deficit disorder society that cannot wait. I don't know how many times I have to say in a month's period of time, you cannot microwave yourself out of what you crock-potted yourself into. Things don't always happen quickly, but everybody wants it quick. And they start going to church. They've been messing around for 20 years, and they start going to church, and 3 weeks later, like, hey, listen, things are still going bad. Well, you got a lot of seeds in the ground. It's going to take a minute here. Now, sometimes God's just good and just blesses right away. But in due season, if you don't quit, and here's what happens. The blessing is down there. The reaping is down there. The good things are down there. And you planted the season. God says, I'm ready to just unload on you massive blessings right here. But it says you don't get it unless you don't quit. In due season, you'll reap if you faint not. We talked in Sunday school about starting the church. And the first year of the church, we averaged 7 people. 5 was my family. And the first day we had 33. We most of the time had nobody at church. The first 2 months, we had the owner. We had so many things. We had amassed all these things, and I had to rent a U-Haul and drive it to church and unload everything. We set up 10 dividers. We set up all kinds of stuff, and we unloaded all that stuff, and we set everything up, set up pulpit, and then I'd get up, and there'd be one or two people outside my family, and nothing was happening. God led me here. I came here, and you know what? If you were looking at the earth, earthly speaking, nothing good was happening for me. Nothing. I was suffering. My finances were suffering. My wife's health was suffering. I've been healthy, never injured in my life, my whole life. My leg was crushed at work, and there is no hope. I mean, anybody who came looked around and said, what is wrong with this place? Nobody comes here. The singing was terrible because we had three people singing. And we weren't reaping. We weren't seeing the blessings. We weren't seeing God work. It was not due season. And I've seen many times in many lives where somebody will not wait long enough for due season to come. And they walk away from the farm and the crop's just about to sprout up and they've got a bumper crop, but they're not there for it. Due season, they lost out because if we faint not, the Bible says, we'll reap in due season. When you quit, I want to say this, you started doing right, keep doing right. Well, it's really hard and bad things are happening. I got a lot of worries now. Keep doing right. In due season, God is not mocked. You will reap if you faint not. If you do what God wants you to do with your life, you're going to be blessed. It will happen. I cannot say you're going to land a job this week. I cannot say that relationship's going to be fixed in a week. I cannot say any of those things. I can just promise you, God has never mocked. The devil's not going to say, see, you serve God and nothing ever happened. And God says, yeah, you're right. I just couldn't do anything about that situation. God has never mocked. If you keep doing right, you're going to be blessed in due season. But many times it's in the end, after it seems, that we did good and nothing ever came of it. I want you to get that because that's the whole message. Due season usually comes in the end, and before we get to the end, here's our starting off. We're doing the right thing. We're starting to take the right steps in our life. We start doing good things. And then God lets nothing happen here, and even sometimes it goes worse, like it did for my case. I was better off in Bible college. I had a good job, cheap rent, good of my money. I left Bible college with not, I didn't know a penny. I had $1,500 in my pocket in 1997 and had three kids during that time and had to know any college bill. I would have been very comfortable just earning money and saving it. It was very cheap to live there and had a good job and a lot of seniority at my job. I went and did what God wanted me to do, and worse things happened. And what this, why does that happen? It's one thing, the trial of your faith. If you went, okay, God, I'm going to tithe, here's my money in the offering, and all of a sudden, poof, you just feel your wallet just get heavy. Oh, my soul, look at this. I got a few hundred here. This is awesome. Nobody would need faith. If every time instantly somebody went out and they said, you know what, I'm not going to date somebody who's not godly and a good Christian. And as soon as they said that, in walks Romeo. And says, you're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. My father has terminal cancer. He's a billionaire and he's about to die in a week. Will you marry me? I mean, that would be nice if it just instantly happened that way every time. But all of a sudden, you have this somebody you kind of like, and God says, that's not the person you should be dating. You break up with them, and all of a sudden, you go single, and single, and single, and single, and single. And you say, God, I'm not being blessed for serving you. And God says, I just want to see if you really are deciding to obey me. Because obedience is not doing what you're going to do as long as you're going to get something for it real quick. Obedience is saying, God, I'm going to do what you say. Period. And if God never blesses you on earth, you're still going to obey him because you love him. See, obedience said to the martyrs, you do what God wants you to do, but you might be killed. And they said, I'm obeying you, God. I'm not conditionally doing what you want. Can you imagine if your boss, you went to your boss, and your boss said, I want you to go do this, 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 and this. And you said, all right, when am I going to get something? All right, I went and sorted these papers out now. What are you going to give me? I need something right now. I'm not going to run off any more copies till I get something. Obedience to God is not conditional. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And those who decide, and when I was a young person, at a certain point, they said, God, you are so good. I trust you with my life. Whatever you want to do with my life, it's yours. I really want to be blessed, but if you don't bless me, I'm yours. Whatever you want to do, wherever you want to send me, it's yours. I am bought with a price. And God decided, you know what? I'm going to give you 7 years of the roughest ministry. And it's going to be brutal. You know what I did? I said, all right, I'm doing the right thing in due season. Due season is just beginning at their 15 years. But if it wouldn't have happened on earth, God was keeping score in heaven. And I hope I would have obeyed if I never got blessed on earth for it. There's a lot of situations in the Bible, and I just want to illustrate this in a few different ways, and we'll be done, where someone went along the way and did what was right and obeyed God, and bad things happened to them, and they did not seem to get blessed in obedience, in the right spot, in God's will. But just ahead of the hard times and the bad things happening was the reaping, but they had to not quit when they were doing right. They had to wait on God. A good illustration, this is Joseph. Genesis chapter 50, we see him reaping. Here's his brothers, please don't kill us, and you are right, and we're bowing down to you, and you won everything. But you know what? Way back here as a kid, God said, you're going to be all these corn stalks going to bow down to you, and all these stars are going to bow down to you, and that's your brothers and your parents. And he went and just innocently, God gave him a vision. He said, hey guys, guess what? I am going to go and I had this dream where I'm a star and I'm these things, and all of them bowed down to me, and they hated him for it. They took him, sold him as a slave, and he went down to Egypt, and then he did right again. And after he did right, what happened? He got put in prison. And you know what he did in prison? He did right. And then the people who he did right to forgot him. He has done right, done right, done right, had a vision from God, and done right, and everything's going worse. He could have said, I'm sick of this, God. I'm not going to do this anymore. Nothing good's happening. All I did is tell your vision. All I did is work hard for Potiphar. All I did is work hard in prison, and everybody's forgetting me, and I'm rotting in a dungeon. But he was about to get a call from Pharaoh. And all of a sudden, his life was going to change. He's going to be the second most powerful man in the world with unbelievable wealth, and he's going to be able to save his family. But it was in the end, at the very end of the thing. He could have given up, gotten angry, and we eventually see he didn't do it. Let me just read a couple of verses out of Genesis here. He never did that. Genesis 39. Because you got to keep doing right. You'll raise your kids right, and everything won't turn out for a little while, and it'll seem like you're struggling, but keep on doing right. You'll start going to church, and you know what? All of a sudden, you will have things not go right in your life, but keep on going. You'll start praying, and instantly your prayers don't get answered, but you keep on doing right. For in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. And Genesis, in chapter 39, in verse 2, it says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw the Lord was with Joseph. Genesis 39 and verse 5. And the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Again, the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. God is blessing, but he's not seeing it. But God is sustaining him. Genesis 41, verse 38, and Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a man as this in whom the Spirit of God is? And we see in the end, verse 39, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God that showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house. You know, Joseph was tremendously blessed and saved his entire family, and all of his family honored him. and told him, "We are sorry, you were right," but he could wait that long until he reaped in due season. But all the way until the very minute he goes into Pharaoh's house and says, "This is the meaning of the dream, 7 years of famine, 7 years of feast." And Pharaoh says, "God's with you. I need you to be our man." Until that moment, it looked worse. All of his brothers were better off than him until that moment. But in due season, he reaped way above and beyond because he didn't quit. He kept on doing right. He was patient. He didn't have ADD, ADHD, and I've got to have it right now syndrome that we have. You know, as a pastor, I want you to understand, I've looked at church growth seminars, seen the books, gotten all the new modern church ideas. I talk to pastors. I'm friendly to pastors of every stripe. And if I meet them, I talk to them. And I'm a learner. I'm always looking for ideas and learning and talk to a lot of people. And can I tell you something? I know three things I could do right now, and I could double our church attendance at any time I want. Anytime I want to. It's been like that since I started the church. There's three compromises that God wouldn't want me to do, but that people would like a lot. And if I do those three things, our church will at least double, probably triple, in a very short period of time. And I can sit here and say, well, I'm plowing along. I'm bailing this guy to jail and helping this her off drugs and about to have to beat up her boyfriend and to have to deal with this thing. And I'm clawing this person out and just get him off drugs. And all of a sudden, they got to go into inpatient treatment and not coming to church anymore. And I just bailed this person out because they couldn't pay their bills and I had to pay their bills. And all of a sudden, now they don't want to go to church because they didn't smile at them on Sunday morning. And plowing and clawing for every single person. God doesn't give me these ready transfer people. God has always given us troubled people who need a lot of help because that's kind of what I specialize in. I don't know what to do with my kid. Can you help me? We're both drug addicts. What do? That's what I get, and that's fine. That's they got to go somewhere. Somebody can help them. I've had to claw and scratch. I told Paul and Travis, they were high character people when they came. I said, "I don't know what to do with you guys. You're not on drugs. You don't beat each other. I don't know what to do with you guys." And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. And scratching and clawing for people. And anytime I think three compromises and we're growing a bunch. Can I say, I'll reap now something that my flesh might like, but I'm not going to like in the end. What so many pastors have to deal with when they compromise those things. Petty people fighting over nothing, a fleshly crowd. You know, we have no problems at Open Door. Nobody comes up and says, "I don't like what you preach, rah, rah, rah." Nobody does that to me. Just because I'll kill them. But nobody does that to me. You know, we don't have gossips running around our church. We don't have a bunch of cliques. You know how many problems we don't have? We've never had a church split. We don't have politics going on in our church. We have a very dedicated, very spiritual people who some of them are more spiritual than me. You know why? Because we planted spiritual seeds in the church. One of those things I could just compromise real quickly, real simply, that people like, is I could close my message to about 20 minutes and quit using so much Bible. I can do that, and contemporary Christians want that. They visit our church, and I visit them. What are you doing at church? Well, you know, I'm not really used to a long message. We're kind of looking for something just, you know, not so heavy and meaty. Just, you know, a few verses here and there. You're at the wrong place. You better find another church. It ain't happening in our church. But when, so I can do this, and I can get these people who would like it, and I'm long-winded. I preach 45, 50 minutes. A lot. I can't teach you anything in any time shorter than that, and the devil's going to have you all week. So we use a lot of Bible, and we preach sound messages and practical messages, and we call sin, sin, and do a whole bunch of things that you're not supposed to do in church anymore. But you know what? We're planting a seed, and watch. Watch when God opens the windows of heaven and says, "You've been planting. You didn't compromise. You did what I wanted you to do. watch what happens. We'll reap in the end if we don't quit. Yet I've had friends who said the same thing I just said and quit and compromised. And then the contemporary people voted him out as pastor. That's not funny, but it is. And you know what? We're not going to compromise on those things. We're not going to. We know what God wants in a church. He tells us in the book of Acts. And we want to do what God wants to do. And by the way, if we never grow as a church, hey, I've been all alone before. I'm not trying to build a church. That's his job. I will build my church. I'm trying to please him. Whatever happens, happens. If I come next Sunday and nobody shows up, I'll preach. I have one audience to please. And since I'm not trying to please people, which is what a leader does nowadays, I'm not trying to do. I'm trying to help people. If I won't quit, I'm guaranteed it's going to be blessed. Now or in heaven. Doesn't matter. It's what God wants to do. We had this huge vision at Open Door. And I told you in Sunday school, I'm not going to tell you because you think I'm crazy. But big things are going to happen. I don't know when. It might be when I hit 60. It's about 40 years away. And it might happen in a very, very long time. It might happen. I have Pentecost Sunday, my last Sunday in the pulpit, and 3,000 get saved and baptized. I have no idea. Doesn't matter. It's not my church. I'm going to plant the right seeds, and I trust God to make you reap the right things as best. That's it. If I quit and faint, though, all the seeds I planted so far, understand this, and I'll tell you, I planted some seeds. I've paid a little bit of a price. Go look at my picture when I started the church. I was a good-looking young man. I had a little bit more hair than I do now. That's why I grow a beard. Make you feel better. But all that work will go for absolutely nothing if I quit. You reap if you faint not. Other illustrations in the Bible. We can see it. In due season, we'll see. We'll see global impact. We'll have thousands of people. We'll have godly, intense, zealous, loving Christians. We'll have all those things whenever God decides. And by the way, he started to do it. He started to do it. And that's fine. He can do whatever he wants. He's good. I trust him. Israel, the Red Sea. Let me take you to Exodus. Just a couple of more illustrations in the Bible. How many people want to know what the other two things I shouldn't compromise on are? Tough. Okay, Exodus 14. I don't have time. Exodus 14. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 9. Israel is let go, taken out of Egypt. And watch this scary situation in the middle of obedience. Exodus 14. But the Egyptians pursued after them, and all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horses and his army overtook them, encamping by the sea besides Pihahiroth, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is it not what we told you, we're going to die? Here they are, taken out of Egypt, and they're right here, getting ready to go, and they get to the edge of the Red Sea, and they get stuck. And then they turn around and look behind them, and here's Pharaoh and his armies, and boy, they're about to die. And they panic and start screaming out, "Why, God? Why, God? Why, God?" And God says, "Moses, tell them to calm down." And the pillar of fire goes behind them and protects them from the Egyptian. Moses holds out his staff over the water, and the waters part. And all of a sudden, the wind comes through, and they walk across on dry ground. There is the blessing. Luckily, Moses was there to lead them, because they were going to quit and go back to Egypt. They did not believe God enough, and in due season. See, the hardest time, it's the darkest point, is right before dawn. The hardest time is right before the blessing's going to come. And right when you feel like you did good things for nothing, if you'll keep on going, boom, the blessing comes, and you reap. But you got to not quit. You got to not. It is not going to do you any good if you say, "Pastor, that's it. I want to serve God with my life. I'm coming to church every Sunday." And 3 weeks later, where are you? You end up right where you were. You got to decide, I love the Lord enough and I want to reap enough that I'm going to do right no matter what happens. I'm sticking this path because I believe God. And I'm just going to stay on it. I'm just trusting God with this thing. Trusting God with this thing. I do trust Him. Another good example of this is Jesus. How about Jesus? Jesus lived, he's called a man of sorrow. That's his title of his life. He goes and does miracles and gets attacked by the Pharisees. He gets mocked. He gets laughed at. He gets betrayed and beaten and crucified. And then he goes to Gethsemane and says, the darkest time, Gethsemane is right before he's going to go to the cross. And he says, Lord, oh, I don't want to do this. Nevertheless, thy will be done, not my will. And he decides not to quit in the darkest point of his life where he's saying, why do I have to do this? I don't want to do this. It's going to be hard and I'm going to be rejected by you, Father, and the sins of the world will be on me. And Lord, it's tough and I don't know about this, but thy will be done. I'm not quitting. And he's crucified. But the Bible says beautifully in Hebrews chapter 12 about Jesus and his enduring, because he didn't quit at the darkest hour when it seems like it. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 2, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. He says, Jesus didn't quit, and he reaped, and now he's set at the right hand of God, and you and I are going to heaven if you've trusted Christ. See, the blessing came, the blessing was there, but he had to go through the cross. Boy, that's the ultimate. That's the ultimate suffering. And the whole message today, folks, is this. In due season, the Lord promises you will reap if you don't quit and you planted the right seeds. It's a promise of God. It cannot fail. You do what God wants you to do with your life. Say, Lord, my life is yours. I'm going to do what you say and just wait. And just stay faithful. And you, that dream of a family you have, you're going to reap. God will give you that or something better. That dream of your job situation getting fixed. I feel so bad for people. We have people in our church who could go out and make real quick money in real bad ways. And they have chosen to struggle financially because they don't do that. They're going to reap good. If they don't quit. But you walk away from the farm, all your planting didn't do you any good. And it feels so good, and my wife comes to me, and she often does, and says, honey, I am so proud of you and glad you endured at this church. Look at the lives who wouldn't be saved if you wouldn't have kept on going. That's just my wife talking to me. It'll be a lot bigger when my Savior talks to me if I don't quit. And I want to say, you've got a blessed life, but you got to keep on doing right. And when the devil says, no use in doing this, you're wasting your time. Look at all these fun things that are waiting for you. You go back, you just worked a whole bunch, and you didn't get your paycheck. Don't do it. Do right and keep doing right, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Christian, don't be weary in well-doing. I know the devil tells you, you've been doing this, it's not going well, it's not being blessed. The darkest time is right before you reap. Ask Joseph. Ask Jesus at the resurrection. It is a good thing. In an open door, we planted the seeds for 15 years. We're going to reap big things. I hope you're here when that happens and see what God does. Plant good things and keep on going and planting when no crops are growing. Or when you're still reaping your old crops you planted. And you're in the weeds and you say, I hope these new plants grow soon. Because it's pretty tough then. But you keep on doing right. By the way, you tired of your own crops growing up and what you brought forth? When you get honest about it, you'll say, I'm going to plant a different crop. Because in due season, you reap if you don't quit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. Thank you for, Lord, this principle of Galatians 6 is really where we started and focused. But Lord, we could have went through all through Genesis, Abraham with his son, and right there before the very end, you blessed. And Lord, people are, I think if you have this message for us, then people are thinking of quitting and getting discouraged. And Lord, we've been there, Father. And Lord, just our testimony of our church is we're trusting you. And we thank you for the good crops we're seeing now and the good folks that are changed and the impact you're making. Lord, I thank you for that. But Lord, we want to see bigger harvests. We want to see great things. And in these lives, in this room, Lord, there are some people who are starting to do right. And some who've been doing right for a while. And they're still hurting. And I pray that you'd help them to break through very quickly. I pray that you'd help them to keep going and reap. Because they didn't quit. Lord, thank you for the word that we can teach. In Jesus' name. Heads about, our eyes are closed. It's been and no one looking around. Our heads about, our eyes are closed. It's been a service. We did a lot of things and watched a video and many things. I want to finish up real quickly and ask you this. Has the devil been sitting there and telling you, quit?